information on exact routes and schedules, visit linktransit.com or call 662-1155.
Turn to us for the information you need now. News Radio 560 KPQ.
This is The Agenda from News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern affecting you are open for discussion. And now your host, Michael Knight.
Good afternoon to you. It's 12:15. This is News Radio 560 KPQ. The show is called The Agenda. 31 degrees outside in a sunny Wenatchee town. And I ask you to consider this. The theater stage is just there to support a certain amount of strutting and fretting. Well, of course, dancing and singing and crying and screaming and all manner of carrying on. And everyone gets up there while the words of Arthur Miller, Neil Simon, William Shakespeare, or Harold Pinter ring out as they hit the back wall. Theater is referred to as a calling, like a siren's call, luring the innocent and the unpracticed into a life of makeup and costumes and lights and entrances and exits and all manner of technical rehearsals, half-hour calls, and sitting nervously in a crowded green room. So ask yourself, when is it time to move on? Well, no one knows. There always seems to be another act to go. There always seems to be no final scene. Just a single stage light waiting for the next rookie to be bitten by the bug that has been bitten by so many hopefuls before. And it happens when they least expect it, when they're unaware, when they're partially blinded by their first spotlight. They never seem to lose the need to strut and fret. But when, for some, it is over, well, it's over. Arthur Miller can't get you out of this one. Fade to black, take off your pancake, walk home, become a normal citizen with thousands of characters within you trying to get the final word in. So who besides yourself is listening to their pleas? Well, that answer, like everything else left unsaid, will have to wait until the sirens call again. And I mention this because Matt Cadman, the executive director of the NAMERICA Performing Arts Center, which has a stage where strutting and fretting is encouraged, has decided to call it a day. And he's here, my very first guest when I did the agenda. I think he was the first guy that I called, in fact, to book the show. And now he's ankling on me, as they say in Variety magazine. He ankles KPQ and he ankles his desk at the NAMERICA. Matt Cadman, welcome to the KPQ.
I am overwhelmed by that introduction, Michael. You really classed the place up since we started this thing.
Damn right. I couldn't go on like I was.
Was there even some string music in your introduction? I think you've added some classical music to it.
This Brandenburg Concerto, actually.
Yeah. No, it's great. Yeah. Who wrote that?
I did.
You wrote that?
I wrote that about an hour ago.
My gosh, listeners, you know, that was an original Michael Knight. That was really profound.
All the introductions are original. And every one.
I'm not sure I knew that.
Yeah.
Wow. Well.
Now, what brought this about? I know you've made the joke like you're a man of 37 and you've had enough.
No, I'm a 37-year-old man. I just look 65.
Yeah.
No, I've done I think I've done my share of fretting and stressing. What was it called? Fretting and
strutting and fretting.
Strutting and fretting. Yeah. No, you know, sometimes, as George Harrison said, all things must pass.
Yeah. Well, he's right about that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that he's right. But
I don't mean
right.
That he's passed away, but.
No, he knew.
We had a pretty good run. Since 2013.
Now this is your second act. Not everybody gets a second act.
That's correct.
You were a teacher and a beloved teacher.
I was a career teacher, Michael. This just came out of nowhere, frankly. My tenure at the PAC was a bolt from the blue. I was happily ensconced at Eastmont High School teaching away history and English, a little theater.
Well, suddenly.
Yeah, and they had an opening here and they were doing some kind of search, at least regionally. And my wife, who was on the board of directors at the time, said, now that I've seen our job description, I have somebody in mind.
He's a natural.
And she came and said, you got to apply for this job. And I said, yeah, I thought she was joking. But stranger things have happened. And here it is now. There's another job description out there that I wrote for my position that now the board is looking, have a hiring committee and they're off looking for the next.
Have you alerted any teacher at Eastmont High to watch out?
Yeah, I'm coming back.
They're coming for another one?
No, when I said goodbye to teaching, which was a very tough day, it's a tough day now.
Yeah.
It was also a tough day then because what I discovered, Michael, is you can love two things.
Oh, God, yes.
You don't have to just pick one. And I have been so blessed to have had two acts in my career, and I'm hoping there'll be a third act.
I think there must be. Do you have any hint that you want to give us to the future?
Well, how long is your contract?
I am like all sports stars day to day.
Well, I was joking earlier, you know, if you had a midnight shift, I could come in and I could, you know, play all the crazy conspiracy theorists around the world and we could talk.
I love that.
I'd be good at that.
You'd be excellent.
No, I don't know what's, I do not know what the future holds. But I have a great belief that God's not done with me yet. I'm not sure what it's going to look like, but I'm excited to see.
But you're still vital and anxious to work?
Yes, I was just at the doctor today, and he gives me at least 6 months.
So you're better than day to day.
I'm month to month. No, we're not sure. My wife Camille and I are have a son at Gonzaga University, so we're sort of, in a sense, in purgatory.
Oh, yes.
As the Jesuits say.
As they insist.
he has a whole other year there, and so that has a little bit to do with where what we'll be doing, but... I don't know.
So if you were footloose and fancy free, you may relocate. You might take off and see the world or another different part of the world.
Michael, I just can't tell you that. I just don't know. But I'm wide open. I'm wide open to wherever it is that is available and willing and able.
Your tenure at the PAC was 6 years long, you say?
6 years.
Thereabouts.
Yeah. 6 years and a couple months. Yeah. And I came aboard in 2013 when they hired me. You know, I don't know a thing about running a theater. You know, I was an educator. So I said, I have some ideas, but my ideas are going to take 3 to 5 years because I see some strategic planning and some strategic change that is going to need to happen here.
Which is necessary for success.
And in that case, at that particular place, it was desperately needed, I thought. And I thought, well, I might be the shortest-lived ED and executive director you've had, but we got to shake this tree up a little bit. And so the plan that I put together was 3 to 5 years, and this is my sixth year. So I, you know, in a sense, had an extra year.
You've done your gig.
Well, I would love to continue to think that the performing arts of Wenatchee is in good hands now, and we're moving forward. And I just, again, cannot thank this community enough for supporting not just me, but the whole vision of a theater being a community center. You know, we have 85% of our events in the course of a year now are based on community. They are run and or organized and performed by community members. And that's, to me, a great step forward, that people have really owned the place. In the beginning, you know, I said, if we have to trim this tree down to one show a year, it'll be sponsored and supported by the community, but we are out of the show subsidizing business as of now.
How did the theater subsidize its own shows? How did it come together to do that?
That was the issue. In the beginning, the business model was to book shows that a group of people thought Wenatchee would support, book the show, find out how much it would cost, get it all organized, and then go find sponsors, which worked really well when they had sponsors that wanted to dig into a show. But when I inherited the PAC in February of 2013, the first show that I went out to introduce didn't have a sponsor. And so it had a $50 ticket to try and make some of that money back, and it was on a Wednesday in February.
Oh, boy.
And it was a radio
play
performance, radio play. Great show, but it didn't, you know, I walked out so excited. Hi, everybody, I'm Matt Cabot, I'm the brand new executive director, and I kiss can't.
Hello.
Cricket. There were like 60 people out there.
Wow.
And it was kind of humiliating, I have to say. So I walked off and said, this is, you know, never again is this going to happen. So it didn't take long for us to realize we need to change a few things. And so what happened was we created a system where we went out and got sponsors for shows before we ever booked the shows. And whatever shows got sponsored from the list that we would like, those became our season programs. And then, because we had it fully sponsored 6 months in advance, we could slash ticket prices. And we could market their sponsorships so early that it became very productive for all sides. And so we went from a $50 ticket to a $25 ticket, and suddenly, people started coming. And we've been very, very fortunate to sell out most of our shows. 75% of our shows have been sold out this year. All but two have sold out. So we've had a very, very good run in terms of people supporting our theater and our program.
And that financial model is solid, and it allows you to go forward.
You know, I call it the new normal, because in any thriving organization, you have to step back at times and look at, you know, well, what have we done that we were in such a, had such a blush of success for 4 or 5 years. Let's slow down and take a look at it. And that's where we are now. It's sort of a plateau time to say, let's go back and rethink our goals, rethink our strategy, shore up some controls, that in the moment we were too busy to deal with, and really make sure that we are not that mom and pop organization of, a while ago, and that we're really more of a institution that's going to be here another generation. Yeah. All that's very healthy, and that's where we are right now. So, I would say that we have made a couple tweaks to what we call the spring fling, the way that we are producing and getting shows, which are all healthy. And so I think it's a green light and off to the moon.
And the lure of the theater is something that you understand.
Yes. Yes, I do.
So what are you going to do about the call of the siren?
I don't know. I don't know. I do know that it has been a great blessing for me, having moved back here in 2000 to teach, to get involved once again in the theater scene here in the community, which I was not able to do very much in Seattle when I was here before. So I'm hoping either if we stay in Wenatchee to stay part of that. There are shows I'd like to direct and shows I would like to audition for. Or just help with ushering, you know, music theater. I was part of that organization for an awful long time. Mission Creek Players, I've been part of that. So there's lots of opportunities here for someone who wants to volunteer in the theater.
One of your proudest achievements is probably No Child Left Behind. All the kids coming to the back.
Without doubt, my ability to organize some outreach for the Numerica PAC is probably the thing I'm proudest of. The Every Kid at the PAC program, the Latino Council, integrating our program with the Latino community was very, very one of my great commitments, I would say. And then most recently, we started a dementia program, partnering the performing arts with dementia, people with dementia, and organizing them so that they can appreciate the quality of life, whether or not their memory is intact or not. So we started a program called Memories at the PAC this year, where I partnered the PAC with memory care facilities and have invited them down for monthly movies, dementia-friendly movies.
Mm-hmm.
We just had an improv workshop. We're going to organize a group of local actors and teachers.
Oh, really?
We're going to facilitate theater games with small groups of people with dementia.
Wow.
And they were just trained on that 2 weeks ago, and we're very excited about where that's going to go. So whether I'm here, you know, physically directing it or not, or I'm just in the background cheerleading, there's an awful lot going on at the Numerica PAC, regardless of whether, you know, I'm in that office or not.
Have a lot of people come knocking on the door curious about the job?
I haven't been part of the hiring process. The board has a hiring committee, but I understand there's over 20 applicants.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't think it's going to be a question of quantity, and I'm sure within 20, there won't be
the right guy or the right gal or gal is in there somewhere.
Somewhere, yeah. Boy or girl. We want someone who, can take it from where it is now and catch a bullet train to the stars.
You do have to catch lightning in a bottle, don't you, to do this job?
Well, I would say it's a little more stressful.
Than you would have liked.
Well, I don't know how I could have prepped for it.
I don't think there's any way you could have.
I told everybody who hired me, I mean, it was like 12 people from around the community. It's a grinding hiring process. And I said, I will tell you one thing. You're asking me questions about personnel, and you're asking me questions about budgets, and you're asking me questions about, and I said, you know what? You are right. I don't have experience in the organizational part of it. But I've taught for 34 years, and I would challenge anyone in this room to say that teachers who have had a rich career aren't able to troubleshoot. I said, I'm going to have people who are experts in that, but what you need, in my belief, is someone who really, really is a crusader for the arts. And that was the angle that I think if I was able to contribute anything to the pack, it was my rah-rah effect of just loving it and wanting other people to love it and realize what I called it a precious little theater in one little speech I gave, and it just took. And I got to thinking, you know what? It is. It's precious that a town of this size would have a theater so dedicated, so beautiful, so professional, with such a community spirit to it. It's precious.
It's a busy facility.
Well, we had 37 dark days last year. The first year I came, we had about 37 days that weren't dark. No, I'm kidding. No, that's not true.
Big turnaround.
But we had summers that people didn't think anybody would come to the theater in the summer, and now we don't have a single day off in the summer. We have Apple Blossom Musical. Music Theater's brought their theater back for the musical every year, which is a huge get for us.
A wise move.
Yeah, you know, it's just one of these community decisions where everybody, it's a win-win for everybody.
Did you have to use your connections and your name and your history here to go around and convince people at the beginning that theater was even a worthy place to put their money or their investment or, for that matter, their interest?
That's a great question, and I would say absolutely. If I had another quality that came to be true besides my love of the theater and passion for that, it was that I'm a Wenatchee boy. You know, I was born and raised here. My parents were both born and raised here. My son was born and raised here. So those idiots, those boneheads I grew up with, they're running the town now.
And nobody can believe it.
And I've got footage. And they owe me money. So either people I grew up with or the parents of people I grew up with who are now in their, you know, 80s or so, still waters run deep in a town like this. And I hate to sound provincial or insular.
But it was absolutely necessary.
Well, it helped to say, you know me and my family, and here I am, and I'd love you to come down and check out the theater again. And many of them were already part of the theater. But I would say that that was a big help that people realized after a lot of turbulence that helped in the stability.
Being stable in the theater is like the opposite ends of the stick.
Yeah.
You got the theater over here, which is not going anywhere unless they sell it and turn it into a food mart. And at the other end, stability, which is very fleeting in that environment.
What I didn't realize then, that I certainly realize now, is that most theaters that I interact with are subsidized by someone or something.
You got to have an angel.
You got a government. You got a foundation. You've got a corporation. You've got some sort of sustainable grant that's happening. We don't have any of that, and we still don't. And we worked really hard on that, but. We are still soft money. We are still an organization that is completely dependent upon the community giving to us. I write a fair amount of grants, and we get a ton of sponsors, but those are local sponsors. We don't have any, you know, Budweiser presents the pack season, and we don't have that. So we have an endowment that we have started now, and that's growing slowly. And we have campaigns that are started. We have development, we have a development department now for long-term donations. But these are all baby steps for us. And if there's one area that I wished I had been more successful in, it would have been in terms of sustainable growth. We have a $1 million budget now, but, you know, we're still flying by the seat of our pants in terms of, you know, making budget every year. It's not like we're socking away $1 million a year for our.
Have you done research to know how far away people come for regular visits to the PAC?
Yeah, we span all of North Central Washington. I would say when we did Hot August Nights, we did a pretty careful study of that. They came from 11 different states. 90% of the people, 80% of the people who showed up came from the four counties that came by here, but the other 40% came from either, 30% came from Western Washington.
Wow,
where we had targeted. Through the Seattle Times ads on the webpage, and Spokane. So we had a really cool influx of locals who wanted to come support the theater and people who came across probably because they loved the title of the show. And the people who came from Florida and Texas.
Who knows?
Who knows?
They came.
Yeah, but it was pretty amazing to say, you know, they're going to go back and say, I was in this little town called Wattahoochee,
Wachinachee is what it was.
And I saw this great show. And that's the hope anyway.
That's the voice of Matt Cadman. He's the executive director of the Numerica Performing Arts Center for days to come. We'll be back right after this.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
31 sunny degrees in Wenatchee. It's 1239. I'm Michael Knight. This is The Agenda. Our very special guest is Matt Cadman, the executive director of the Numerica Performing Arts Center. And Matt has decided to announce his retirement. When did you make up your mind?
Well, I announced it around Christmas, certainly January. And the board and I went back and forth about that for a little bit. And so I said, I want to give you plenty of time for this transition. So how about 2 months, which is a long time.
That's a long, a long farewell.
And that's 2 weeks. Now we're coming up the last 2 weeks. So that's given me plenty of time to make sure there's no surprises in the transition for whomever they hire. And I've given the board, I think, plenty of time to be able to really do a good search for a candidate they think is a quality candidate.
You know the board. I don't. Are they going to do a good job? Are they going to find the right person?
Oh, yeah. Those 20 people on the board are community servants. You know, you think about us. You always hear about me and sometimes the staff, but our board of directors gives up their regular stressful, fretting jobs to be part of this for volunteers. So even though they only meet monthly, they bleed. They bleed the theater for us. And so
grease paint.
I can't thank them enough for what I think is probably a thankless position, because especially when it's not your original passion, you're
right,
doing sort of a sideshow in a way, to be able to give that much dedication and sacrifice is really something special.
You have a lot of people you said you wanted to thank. Who's on your list?
Oh, I just wanted to give a shout out to everybody, because I don't think I get a chance to really say to our patrons just what, I don't know how to adequately express the depth of my appreciation these past 6 years.
A theater without an audience is nothing.
No, and I've seen theaters without audiences, and I've seen theaters close up and go away, and we are just going the other direction, and that is entirely responsible because of the community. It's entirely due to people who have just said, you know what, I like where we're going. I like the fact that Wenatchee has a dedicated theater like this. How can I help? We have 150 volunteers, Michael.
Wow.
Ushers.
That's an army.
Box office people. The board of directors are all volunteers. And we also have tens of thousands of people who, you know, we had our 500,000th patron come through the place last Christmas.
Wow.
So we've had 500,000 people come through there. We have, we've tripled our attendance. I can't tell you the number of stats we could boast about. But the only reason I'm bringing it up is because that's entirely due to the community who said, we support the theater, we want it to grow. And it's just every day it blows me away. I have never taken a day lightly there thinking, well, they deserve it. You know, they deserve us. We're doing so great. Pat ourselves on the back. It is just, it's a blessing. I told you earlier that the whole thing, to me, without sounding schmaltzy, has been a crusade. It hasn't been a job. It hasn't been an occupation.
Don Quixote was a play, a book, a play, a movie, and everything else, right?
Yeah.
You have to tilt at the windmill.
Got to tilt a few windmills, and it's been a mission. I told you at the break that I had when I was teaching, as a young teacher, I had a graduate professor say that teaching should be good theater. And it's because I was a little theatrical, had a little bit of flair. I took that to heart, so I would try and turn my classroom into dramatic projects as much as I could. And then when I took this job, I took that same sense of trying to reach kids through the arts by saying maybe theater should be good teaching. And so a lot of what we've tried to do, at least from this idea of mission, has been serving.
A lot of people who are volunteers sacrifice a lot of their time. I'm thinking of the actors and actresses who also have to come with the talent necessary for the job, and then give the rest of it.
Well, being one of those guys, there is a certain sense of self-satisfaction just being in it. I mean, not so much a sacrifice.
When you see the casting board.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, we have lots of retired people. We have judges and doctors and lawyers and dentists and teachers and professors. We have all sorts of people. And they volunteer there. They put a little red vest on and help usher just because they want to give back. Those are the people I'm talking about, the ones that have this innate sense of giving. And we've dedicated our mission to that notion, that we are going to give back too. We are not going to be a dedicated theater that just people come in and see a show and have their lives enriched for 90 minutes. We want to make an impact in the lives of the people. In our case, we use the vehicle of the performing arts. And that's why we're so excited about all the kids in the region. 17,000 kids have experienced the arts in our theater because of our Every Kid at the PAC program for free.
And one of the most amazing aspects of that program is that, for often is the case, that it's their first time ever in any theater.
Oh, my gosh. I would tell the board and I would tell our volunteers, you got to come down here for one of these ECAP shows and see just the looks on the kids' faces when they walk in and they see the stage go up. I had one guy, we had an intermission, a little third grader from Quincy, a little Latino boy. He'd never been in a theater before, and it was intermission. And the lights went back up, and he gets his bag on, and he's ready to go, and he's walking back up the aisle, and the teacher said, wait, no, well, Juan, come back, we're not done. She said, what? And she could not get it across to him that this was intermission of a show. And finally she, you know, as a great teacher, she says, it's halftime. Oh, halftime! You know, and he
there's more to come.
Yeah. Oh, halftime! So he goes, you know, goes to the bathroom, whatever. And that's a great example of kids who have just a switch of paradigm.
For Matt Cadman, it's not halftime, it's the fourth quarter. He's playing two more weeks, and then he's taking his ball and going somewhere. We're not
and
quite
there'll
sure.
be no overtime.
Well, let's hope not. There could be as they make that final decision.
Yeah, true.
Hey, Matt, could you just hold? Let's talk. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 Cape County. To purchase tickets, visit michaelgrimm.brownpapertickets.com. The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
1248, you're listening, and I thank you for listening to The Agenda. Our friend Matt Cadman from the PEC, the Numerica Performing Arts Center, is here today. Just a couple weeks from his last day serving as the executive director, he's retiring. He's moving on to the third act. Third acts are always great. Not every play has three acts, but some of the great ones always have three acts.
The great ones have five acts.
Yeah, aren't those
you
the
go
wonderful?
To Shakespeare, you're there for 7 hours, but you can't wait to see who's going to be killed in act five.
You don't want to be known as the guy who cut that scene.
No.
What happened to Desdemona? We cut it. It wasn't working out.
Running too long.
Thought it was too long. Shut it down. It ain't Shakespeare, I said. But it was Shakespeare. Yeah. Well, I don't want to sell any tickets after your time.
No, you do. You want to sell it. I wanted to thank.
Until the new director comes. But
well, no, that's why we're trying to make it a seamless transition. But I'll tell you what, Michael. Now, yes. You know that you and I have bantered a long time, a lot of things.
We've done a couple banters.
I have to say, in all good conscience, KPQ and Cherry Creek have been just amazing partners with us. And to be able to come in and banter with you once a month about what's going on across the street, it's meant the world to me. I've just had a ball.
I loved it too. I have to be on my toes when you're around.
Yeah, we don't work with a net or notes.
There's no pause between thoughts around when he's in the room.
It'd be better if we did work with notes or a net, but why start
neither
now?
Neither one of us wants to take notes, so that's a problem.
We're lazy. But anyway, I just can't thank you for your support. That is a great example of what I'm talking about a community who just gets behind.
Just impress upon your successor that he or she is welcome, and we'll just book him in.
I will, if I have the chance to work with him or her before I leave, then we will put you two together and make sure that bond continues.
You want to sell some tickets?
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, every month I'm here, I'm usually blabbing at the top of my lungs about the great stuff that's happening in the PAC. So why would we change this?
Why would we change that format?
No, I've got March Madness, my friends,
ooh.
And even though this is the last month I'm going to be there, it doesn't mean that we don't have incredible shows lined up for the end of the season. I'm going to tell you about the month of March.
Let's go.
Well, Saturday is Friday is tomorrow is
tomorrow's
March.
March 1.
Tomorrow's March 1. March 2, we start March Madness out, Michael, with Kelsey Cook and Cold Winter Nights.
Cold.
We have this wonderful
That's
program.
Aptly named.
Our young friend Alex Haley, now program manager of his own here, he started this thing called Cold Winter Nights to go against Hot August Nights.
Right.
Get it?
I do.
And so we have constantly sold out shows, and Kelsey Cook's here. She's been on every show you can imagine on TV, and she's going to be headlining on our stage Saturday night, 7 o'clock.
And those comedy shows are sort of an intimate setting.
It's like a little comedy club.
Right.
It's a whole new iteration of how we can use the theater for a whole other group of people in the community who might not come to the symphony or might not dig Shakespeare, but they love comedy.
So I was there one night, and people in the front row were laughing and then saying, oh, God, that's great. I'll be right back. I'm going to get a drink.
Well, our concession sales, I won't lie, have been helpful.
Yeah. All right.
Also, now, we always have a monthly movie sponsored by someone in the crowd. Guess what it is next Saturday? I'm going to give you one clue. Everybody out there? Well, mine goes to 11.
Ooh.
Spinal Tap is coming to the Numerica Pack next Wednesday,
ooh,
March 6th, 6:30.
With the original cast.
Yeah, but guess what? $3 what? Ticket on the
Three
big
bucks.
$3 ticket. Come and yell all the lines. This is one of those movies that changed my life. I don't know about yours, but I can quote every word of it. Now, before I go any further, March 14th, a week later, we're having, you know, you have Cirque du Soleil and these massive shows in Vegas?
Oh, yes.
There is another Cirque group called Cirque Allos. From Toronto, Canada.
French Canadians, crazy
people.
They're
bringing a show called Saloon, and it is Cirque du Soleil in the Old West.
Wow.
I'm sorry to say we only have single tickets left for it, so if you really want to see it, call the box office and get a single ticket. But that baby sold out fast.
Run through the slush today.
It's just going
to
be amazing.
Get to the box office.
And then for you eclectic people that I know are drawn to you.
Yes.
Because of your eclecticity.
Oh, dear me. My eclecticity.
There is a great Puget Sound band called Pickwick.
Uh-huh.
Not the papers, just the group. And they're going to be here on March 30th, and they're going to sing on our little stage, too. So we're going to have an intimate audience there.
What do they play like?
Well, they're
rock and folk?
Folk rock, new... I don't know how to say international. They got a wild sound.
Listen to them on online.
And, yeah, go onto YouTube and go look up Pickwick.
And get yourself a ticket.
Yeah, they're four guys out of Seattle, and they're going to be great. But, again, we're trying to use our theater in different ways. So, once again, we're changing this big 550-seat theater into a small black box theater where these small intimate performers can come. So not 500, but maybe 200 people there who wouldn't come to a symphony. So the idea is we're trying to keep massaging the theater to bring in different people from the community so they can feel like that they own the pack as well.
And using the space differently.
Use the space differently, yeah. So that's the idea. And then we turn right around. Newsies is going to be in May, and that's going to be this gigantic show with people flying from the rafters. So, you know, we're a little bit of everything. And that's just the first half of March.
My God.
That's what I said.
It's almost too much to consider.
Yeah.
Matt Cadman, thanks for being here. And by that, I mean in the town, on the planet. And
on the planet,
this is goodbye, but not farewell, or farewell, but not goodbye.
I
see you later, but don't go too far.
I thank everybody. I thank you all. Thank you for everything, and please keep supporting the Numerica Performing Arts Center because we're nothing without you.
You heard him, Michael Knight and Matt Cadman on KPQ.
Now on with the show.